Praise the Lord. Welcome to Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Robert, and we're so happy to welcome you again today to this broadcast. We pray wherever this broadcast finds you, that it finds you well, but above all, we pray that it finds you. Praise God. We're basing this outreach ministry through media right here on WMAF. On a promise in Scripture to those who receive the Word of God. And that is Psalm 107 and verse 20. It said, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And so we are on the air today because we honestly feel that God is sending His Word to touch someone's life distinctly. And we pray today that God's Word will find a target in your heart, because the Bible said that His Word is like the rain that comes down out of heaven, that watereth the earth and causes it to bring forth and to bud. So shall the Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish that I sent it to do, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we just want to see your life blessed of the Lord today. If you're a Christian, we want to see that fruitfulness that God promised in your life, that you would, as the Old Testament psalmist said, that you will flourish like the date palm. Hallelujah. Amen. And we want to see that 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit coming forth in the lives of God's people, so that we can show forth His virtues, that we can show His character and the glories of His person to this world. If you're not a Christian today, God's Word wants to find a target in your heart. You would take top priority today if you don't know Jesus in God's heart, because the Bible said He would leave the 99 that are safe in the fold. He would go after the one that is lost. You may be that one that is the target for God's Word to reach today. If you'll stay tuned to this broadcast and just hear the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit begin to deal with your heart on a spiritual level. So much is aimed at your head through the media. God's Word has a different target. God's Word is aimed at your heart. And we pray today that you'll just stay tuned to this broadcast and see what the Lord has to say to you. Praise God. I've never opened my Bible and read from the Holy Scriptures that God didn't speak to my heart. It's a book like no other, because this is a God like no other. And the Holy Spirit is so involved in the sowing of this seed. So we're just praying today that this broadcast will find its target. And if you are a Christian today, we thank you for coming back. If you're a return listener, if you're a brand new listener, we're so glad to have you today, and we just feel acquainted with many of our listening family. We don't know you personally. Maybe sometime I can come up to Madison and come to the radio station and just sit around there with them for a while. And if anybody wants to drop by, I can shake hands with you and hug your neck and get to see some of those folks in the Madison area that hear this broadcast. We'd be grateful to have that opportunity. But this broadcast goes by computer way beyond Madison to other states. We understand there's someone called the station that was listening in Virginia. Well, we greet you today if you've returned. We're glad to have you back with us. But we also understand there's a listening base down under, down in Australia. So, g'day, mate. We're glad to have you with us today. And wherever this goes, to the UK, to Africa, wherever there is a computer, and you're listening to this by streaming audio, we pray God will speak to your heart today. I want to bring you a message today from God's Word on Jesus, name above all names. I love to talk about the principles in God's Word, but above all, I want to talk about the person in God's Word that is exalted from Genesis to Revelation. This book, the Bible, in some quarters down in Africa where missionaries have taught the Scripture with Jesus taking the preeminence, they call it the Jesus book, because they say open it just about anywhere and you will find something that pertains to Him. Well, this is a Jesus book because from the beginning of the laying of the foundation of the world, God has prepared a mighty salvation plan. Jesus is called in the New Testament the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God put a safety net under man because He knew that we had the capability of failing and falling when we had a free sovereign will given us. And if that happened, God had a safety net, and that safety net is Jesus. Praise God. And I'm so happy to declare Him today as Jesus, the name above all names. Little Evie Turnquist used to sing the Chuck Gerard song that said, "It's the name above all names, and we will declare it. We will declare it. It's the name above all names, and we will shout it to a dying world." Praise God. Of course, the name we declare is the name of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. He owns the name that is above all names. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, I want to read for our text today. It said, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things beneath the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hallelujah. "And hath given Him a name," listen to that, "above every name." The Syriac version renders it, "which is more excellent than every name." And the Arabic version translates it, "which is more eminent than every name." And the Ethiopic version reads, "which is greater than every name." And I want to ask some questions today. Why? Why did God exalt Jesus Christ to be Lord and King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Why is it that the name of Jesus, we and all heavenly angels are to fall on our knees? At the name of Jesus, we are to lift up our hands and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King." Why? What did Jesus do that was so utterly important? What did Jesus do that placed Him in such high esteem before all angels and all people? And someone has said, was it because of the quality of His miracles? Was it because He was so magical? Because He was the happy Houdini of the Holy Land? He walked on water. He turned water to wine. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Because Jesus was the best miracle worker who ever lived, God has exalted Jesus and made His name greater than all other names. Is that the reason why God exalted Jesus? Or is it because Jesus was raised from the dead? Never in the history of the world have we ever seen a person raised from the dead by the victorious powers of God, who came back from the dead, who came back to life in resurrected form, never to die again. Yes, there was an occasion of resurrection in the Old Testament, but death came later on. But Jesus was raised in an incorruptible body, never to die again. Because God used His power and raised Jesus from the dead, therefore God has exalted Him above others. Is that correct? Or is it because Jesus had some divine connection? God was His Father. God had this special Son, and because the Son was so special, being of the same nature and substance of the Father, therefore God exalted Him above all others. Is that why God so exalted Jesus? Why did God exalt Jesus? I'm going back to our original question. Let me read the preceding verses and put these verses in context, and we will look at this reason. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And this takes our text and puts it in context. Listen to verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, took on Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself." Get that. Don't miss this. "He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." God exalted Jesus, my brother and my sister, because he humbled himself. He left the splendor of heaven to enter this fallen world. He left the glory of heaven to become our Savior. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He went to the cross as our sacrificed lamb to die in our place. Jesus deserves this place of high honor and praise. Listen to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, many verses of it, because it's about the suffering servant, the one who would come and humble himself even unto the death of the cross. It is prophetic of Jesus in the New Testament and what he would do in his redemptive love so that you and I could be saved. Listen to this, Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 1 through verse 12. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he hath made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Listen to verse 12. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he's poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Or as one translate, "I will give him honors among one who is mighty and great." What Jesus has done for you and me absolutely is beyond our ability to truly assess. That God would take human form, God the Son would come into this world, would take my sin and yours upon himself on an old rugged cross. No wonder God has highly exalted him. Amen. God exalted him, said our text. God exalted him to the highest place. In the ancient world, the highest honor a ruler could bestow was to place someone at his right hand. This was the place of honor at a banquet table. This was the place of honor in the judgment hall. Only the emperor's most trusted advisors and friends could occupy this place. The king's right-hand man functioned as a kind of prime minister. As the right-hand man, he could rule, give commands, and pass judgments, all in the name of the king. In the Bible, the highest place in the universe is at the right hand of God. To be seated at the right hand of God is to be given a place of supreme honor and authority. To be seated at the right hand of God is to be made king under God. And the Lord, listen to Psalm 110 in verse 1. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand." These words were fulfilled when Christ ascended to heaven Over and over again in the New Testament message, we find that Jesus ascended to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This means that Jesus has been given power, majesty, and honor. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This means that Jesus has been given a crown and a throne. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This means that Jesus is King and Lord. This means that Jesus has been given the highest place in the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know something? I want to speak very candidly to you today. Jesus has given the highest place in my heart. The reason we're putting such an emphasis on Jesus Christ is because that's what God has said in His Word. God has exalted Him. You begin to decentralize the cross and Christ from the gospel, and it is not the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. Paul said these words in his letter to the Corinthian Christians. He said, "I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Hallelujah. Jesus is the centerpiece of the gospel. He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the Scriptures declare. He is the capstone of the faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, according to the book of Revelation, the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the highly exalted one. And at His name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord to what? To the glory of God. Hallelujah. Because He humbled Himself. That's why He holds this high place in my heart. That's why I pour out my life for Him. I preach His gospel not as a job, but as a joy. I love to talk about Jesus. I love to exalt His name. I love to honor God by honoring His Son. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I never get tired of hearing about Jesus Christ. I was at a funeral just a few days back of a dear friend and former church member who went home to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, just hearing the Word of God again sung and hearing about what Jesus has done to secure our salvation, to make sure that we could have eternal life with Him and live with Him in heaven forever. It just made my soul jump again inside of me. Hallelujah. I never get tired of hearing this old story that is so contemporary, that is so relevant, that is so mighty to give comfort and hope in the 21st century. You know, over 2,000 years has passed, and Jesus is still the light of the world. He is still the mighty one that comes to save and deliver. Praise God. I don't know where this broadcast is finding you today, and I don't know what condition your life is in right now. But I'm telling you one thing that I do know. I do know that God sent His Son for you and for me, to die on the cross for my sins and yours. And because Jesus humbled Himself and condescended to become our sacrifice, to bear the full brunt of God's judgment on our sins. Jesus wasn't dying for His sins on the cross. He was dying for our sins, taking our punishment. Yes, and that's why that I exalt Him in my heart, and that's why God has exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name that is named. I want you to know that Jesus can come to you where you are today in saving power. We don't preach a dead Jesus. We preach a living Jesus that can actually save you and come into your heart. You know what He said to the church of Laodicea? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me." There is a fellowship relationship offered you. Not only sins forgiven and heaven secured and hell escaped, but there is a friendship, fellowship, relationship offered you. And I'll tell you something, if you look at Christians and think that because we're trying to follow Jesus and we got some do's and don'ts that we adhere to, that we're in some kind of box and we can't enjoy life, then you've never tasted living water, friend. I'm telling you right now. I was a sinner before I got saved. Hallelujah. And I was a good sinner in the sense that I gave in to most of the impulses that my flesh desired. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, like knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Not just the consolation of laying your head down at night and knowing that if your soul left your body that night, that you're going to go directly into God's presence and be with Him forever. But the life here and now, having Jesus alive within you. I can't explain that. The old timers used to say it's better felt than telt. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm telling you, anyone who has experienced salvation, Jesus comes into that life. He invades that life with His presence and power. And there is a consolation in knowing that Jesus is with us through this world. In fact, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." I heard a humorous story of a man that was afraid to fly in airplanes, and he had to take a business trip, and he sat down, and he was a Christian himself, but he had this intense fear of flying. And he sat down by a man who was also a Christian. He was talking to him, and they found out they both shared the faith. And he said, "You know something, this plane's getting ready to take off, and I'm already getting a sick stomach and getting the jitters and feeling claustrophobic." And the guy told him, "Well, don't worry about it. Our Lord said unto us that He would be with us always." And the other man responded, "Yes, but He said, 'Lo, I am with you always.'" A little misinterpretation of Scripture, but I want you to know that Jesus is with us. And there's a lot of things in life that can give you that queasy feeling, that feeling that everything's closing in on you, that feeling of fearfulness. But I'll tell you, the Lord has promised His presence and to promise to be with us. They prayed together in that airplane, and the queasiness left and the fear left, and there was a sense that they were not alone facing the fears that they couldn't overcome or he couldn't overcome, but that Jesus was with him. And I'm telling you, Jesus can be with you today. He loves you enough that He would humble Himself, that He would go to an old rugged cross, that He would hang in your place. There is no love like that in all of the universe. For greater love than this, the Scripture said, hath no man than a man would lay down his life for his friends. He's brought us into a relationship with God that God can call us His friends. No longer His enemies, separated because of sin, but reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only does God exalt Him, but when we meet together as Christians, we exalt Him. That's why they're singing. That's why we praise Him. That's why angels are before the throne crying holy in His presence. Praise God. Because God hath highly exalted Him. And God wants us to exalt Him. Amen. Paul put it this way, that in all things Christ having the preeminence. We give Him the preeminence because that's where God has placed Him, in the great plan of redemption, in the great salvation plan. It's all about Jesus. I used to love the old hymn, tell me more about Jesus. More of His mercy, more of His grace, more of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more about Jesus. That's why we're on the air. We don't have an ulterior motive of being on this radio. This is not a commercial for our church. I mention it very rarely. We're here to talk about Jesus and the principles of the person of God's Word and the principles of victory and faith within the Word of God. But it all revolves around Jesus Christ. See, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, when we talk about obtaining biblical promises, we can't really speak to you about that. When we talk about the peace that passes understanding, we can't relate it to ourselves unless we know the Prince of Peace Himself. We can't talk about the peace of God unless we've obtained peace with God. And He, Jesus hath made that peace for you and that peace for me. I would have perished without him. I'm from a family that has a history of nervous conditions, and I did not escape the gene pool. I had a predisposition to nervous problems. My dad has it. My son, my first son, my second son, they both have this. This is running the family tree. But I walk in victory today. In spite of that, I had my own battle with it. But boy, did I learn how to lean on Jesus through my own weaknesses of character and my own predisposition. I don't deal with stress very much well. And if any of you are pastors out there, you know that pastoring can become very, very stressful. And after years and years of pastoring and years of the responsibility for church and missions and a radio outreach, all of these things, and a jail ministry, I had such zeal. I was trying to do everything at one time. I wanted to do everything for God. My intentions were good, but I was really going beyond what His grace had provided for me in terms of strength. I was trying to do a lot of good things that wasn't necessarily God things. But boy, I learned to lean on Jesus Christ. And I am so proud of Him today. He carried me, literally carried me, when all of my strength was gone, when it looked like I couldn't make it another step, when my body was beginning to shut down. I went to a Christian surgeon who prayed for me, Dr. Reed in Tampa, and after a meeting where he was speaking, he came and he put his hand on my chest and he said, "Your body's overloaded like a fuse box that's overloaded, and anything could shut down at any time without God doing something special for you." And he laid hands on me and prayed for me. It didn't happen instantly. God took me through a process where I began to know Jesus, not just in the power of his anointing, but in the great person of his character. This loving Savior that would come alongside me and bear me up. Holy Spirit told me more about him in my valley than I ever learned about him on my mountaintops of victory. And I have learned to lean on him. I've learned that he is faithful. I've also learned that it is not my grip on God that is sustaining me. It is his mighty grip on me. I exalt him in my heart. We exalt him in our church meetings. Our preaching service has two bookends. We start off by worshiping God in praise, and we end by worshiping God in praise. Hallelujah. Because we love to exalt the one that God has exalted in heaven. We love to exalt him in our hearts. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus today, you'll never, ever hear a message better than the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel that says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the life that God wants to give you today. That's the life that God wants you to know today. It's everlasting life. It's a life that transcends death. Praise the Lord. It's a life that promises, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die." God wants you to know this mighty Savior, his mighty Son, who condescended to come down into this world. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he that spoke the worlds into existence, for without him there was nothing made that was made, the scripture declares. He held his peace. Let them nail him to the cross. He humbled himself to that degree, was obedient to the death of that old cross, that you and I might be saved. Ah, friend, he wants a place in your heart. He wants a place in your life of preeminence. Would you open your heart today to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I've sinned and I'm sorry. I repent of my sin and I receive you right now as my personal Savior." Would you open your door? He said, "I will come in and sup with you." Oh, friend, what a day this will be. The day that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're a Christian today, lean heavily upon this great Savior. Look to Him for every need of your life. Exalt Him, even in your sorrow, even in your trouble. Lift Him up. Give Him that place of preeminence in your heart. Hallelujah. Our time is gone. I don't know where it went, but it's gone. Please come back next week right here. Let's talk about Jesus.